This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Israel Folau was sacked last week after posting a homophobic image on Instagram, which claimed that homosexuals, amongst others, were awaited in hell. He has since launched a GoFundMe campaign to fund his legal expenses in an intent to challenge the termination of his contract, which was shut down by GoFundMe earlier this week, citing a violation of their terms of service.
A series of events is being described by him and his supporters, including the Australian Christian Lobby, as discrimination and an attack on religious freedom. The ACL has continued fundraising on Folau's behalf, now raising over $2 million for Folau for his legal challenge. But there are others who are not convinced that Folau's sacking was an infringement of his religious freedom or freedom of speech. The Informer spoke to Father Rod Bauer, Anglican priest and Archdeacon of the Central Coast, about his take on the Israel Folau case.
Oh, well, I mean, no theologian of any degree of competence or respect would see the scriptures that he's quoting mainly 1 Corinthians there, and he's saying that this whole list of people will go to hell. That's not what that particular text says. It doesn't mention hell. It talks about the kingdom, which has got nothing to do with any sort of afterlife punishment kind of thing. And he's translating the word asyncoitiai, which, well, no one really knows exactly what Paul means by that, but most theologians these days would think that he's probably referring to the use of young male prostitutes. And essentially now what we would call pedophilia. It's got nothing to do with homosexuality at all. And so he is, in fact, mistranslating that text in two very important ways that often have a devastating effect on the LGBT community. I mean, bad theology always leads to harm, and I think that's what we're seeing there.
There's always a talk of religious freedom when issues like this get brought up. You know, when a conservative expresses a religiously motivated opinion that receives some backlash, there's talk of religious freedom potentially being under threat. So is religious freedom threatened in Australia, in your opinion?
I do not believe it is. And I think the Ruddock Review found that, you know, we are religiously free to say what we like. And in fact, Israel Folau is free to say whatever he likes from the pulpit. He also has to honour contracts that he enters into. But the issue that's now being played out, especially pushed by the Australian Christian Lobby, I think is quite disingenuous. They're trying to force something through legislation prior to the Australian Law Reform Commission bringing down their thoughts about the Ruddock Review, trying to get the jump on that, and I think it's quite disingenuous.
There are presently moves to potentially reform religious exemptions. What's your stance on that debate?
It's a difficult thing because I'm very outspoken in many ways, and mostly I'm religiously motivated in that. I say things that the government don't necessarily like me saying, so I'm very anxious about any curtailing of freedom of religious speech because that can always be misused by governments who want their own way. So I would be very anxious about curtailing anyone's freedom of speech, even if we don't like what they're saying, even if what they're saying is harmful. I think it's really important if someone like Folau is saying something which is clearly harmful, especially to vulnerable young LGBTI people, then the onus is on other religious leaders like myself to come out and be very vocal and say, look, I think he's wrong. You don't have to listen to him. Here's an alternative view. If you want to explore spirituality within your own context of your own sexuality, then here's a way you can do it. I think that's the It's not a perfect world, it's not a perfect solution, but I think it addresses both people's right to have freedom of speech and people's right to be protected as much as possible from the harm that that speech can cause.
With regards to freedom of speech and freedom of religion, do you think that organisations and employers who are not affiliated with the government have a responsibility to stand by their employees, regardless of how unorthodox or uncouth the opinions that they express may be?
Well, again, this is a tricky one that will be played out over the next few years, no doubt, in the courts. For employers to have an employer who is highly paid, very publicly and vocally saying things that contradict the values of that organisation, that's very tricky stuff. I think the onus ought to be more on the religious person to not be part of an organisation with whom they strongly disagree. For instance, I have religiously motivated thoughts about climate change. And so I can't expect to go and work for Adani and then stand outside the front office of Adani holding up a sign to stop Adani. I mean, I've got to take some responsibility for my own religiously motivated values and ethics on that. And I think Israel Folau should fit into that category. He disagrees with the very, well-articulated and clear policy of Rugby Australia about inclusion. He's saying, no, I don't agree with your idea of inclusion. And so he ought to take responsibility for that and say, well, I'm not going to work for you. And he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. I mean, the scriptures do tell us, as Christians, that following Jesus can be costly. And it is. It can be costly. And it doesn't seem as though Israel Folau wants to pay the price that Jesus says we sometimes have to pay.
He recently started a crowdfunding campaign and has passed over $1 million. So it seems that there are many people or some potentially wealthy people who agree with him on that. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, yes, there's, I think, about 10,000 people have contributed to that. Obviously, relatively well-heeled people who have a conservative agenda. It has to be remembered that the Australian Christian Lobby who are running this have a conservative agenda, and there is nothing about this push for what they're calling freedom of speech that isn't about sacking gay teachers from Christian schools. That's their end game. That's what they want to do. But it's also important to remember in this context that over 60% of Australians who identify as Christians voted yes in the marriage plebiscite. So the Australian Christian Lobby represent a very small, fringe-dwelling element of the Christian community. They are well-funded and well-organised, and because of that, they can appear to be much more numerous than what they really are. So I think in the context, we have to remember that they do not represent the majority of Christians in Australia.
That was Rod Bowers, and this is The Informer. More coming up in a moment.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.